To go. So welcome everyone. Dr. Rose here, and I want to welcome you guys back to the relaunch of the Dr. Rose podcast show. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. This is going to be a hot, interesting topic, and I'm sure you all want to come in and just gain some insight. I encourage you all to share this video, start a watch party if you want, put in any questions you may have for our guests tonight, because we'll be asking questions at one point. And we're just going to get started. But I wanted to come and launch and talk about this topic for a few reasons. First of all, you know, if you're an adult and you've ever been in a relationship, chances are you've experienced a breakup. If you've never experienced a breakup, you've either been on the giving end or the receiving end, consider yourself probably an anomaly. I was going to say consider yourself fortunate, which you can, but more of an anomaly, because it's something that we all have experienced at one point or another in life. And I wanted to just talk about just the whole ins and outs of what the whole ideal of disengagement, or some people call it uncoupling, or what breakups, you know, what does it entail? These are some relationship realities that we seldom talk about. When you think about a lot of just even the dark side, I don't even want to call it the dark side, but the unpleasantness, you know, that can occur in relationships. We avoid these topics, but it's so necessary for us to just have dialogue about the things that it's difficult for us to talk about, because I've always said only through dialogue can change occur. And when we talk about relationships, I've always said relationships are the hallmark of life. You know, we come into this life to relate. We come into this life to connect to others. That's how we grow. That's how we evolve. Inevitably, intimate relationships is going to be part of our human experience. But what happens when it goes wrong, or what happens when it doesn't last? I shared this with someone recently, and they kind of looked at me kind of strange, but it's when you think about it, it's the truth. The majority of relationships that we will enter into in our lifetimes will end. I mean, just think about that. That's not anything profound. The majority of relationships we enter into in our adult lives will end, with the exception of whatever relationship you're in now, the others have ended. I mean, that's a fact. But we are never taught like how to do this properly. Is there a right way to do it? You know, you know, we'll talk about that tonight, because some people may say there's not a right way. There is a right way. I actually did a poll for my Patreon group last week, and just asked them to kind of just share what their breakup experiences have been. You know, how, if they've been on the giving end, you know, they are initiating a breakup relationship, what has their experience been? And some of the options were, you know, do you ghost a person? Do you sit a person down and have that conversation, that difficult conversation with them? Or, you know, some people, you know, the Dear John letter, I shared a meme yesterday about how, you know, the old Sex in the City episode, when Carrie actually received a post-it note from her boyfriend, you know, when she woke up in the morning, just breaking it off with her, you know, and that's, of course, never advisable, but that's one of those classic episodes that a lot of fans of that show talk about. So I want to introduce, first of all, our guest tonight. You know, we have some great guests that I am honored to have on. Two very handsome men here with us tonight. We have Paul McCaskill. Can you hear?
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Glad to be here, Dr. Rose. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk about this very important topic, just as you mentioned. I'm excited. I hope that we can share some insight, have some fun. Certainly, if we can help someone, you know, with positive, you know, positive reinforcement about this very real topic, as you mentioned, I think, obviously, we've done something wonderful. And so I'm very pleased to be here with you and my brother, Reggie Smith. So I'm excited.
Brother Reggie and two brave men. And we also have Reg. Can I call you Reginald? Should I call you Mr. Smith? Reginald Smith? Can I call you Bane? No, look.
We're going to keep it all the way real.
Okay, we're going to keep it real. So we got Reginald Smith here, who's joining us as well. So I want to tell you why I have these two individuals on this show. first of all, you know, Reggie and I, we've had conversations as it relates to relationships. Like, we've gone hours and hours of just having dialogue, just about our, you know, past experiences, what we've learned, how we've grown from relationships, mistakes we've made, you know, in relationships, how we are trying to, you know, just grow and evolve past those mistakes that we've made. And I don't even like to use the word mistakes, more learning experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And so about 6 weeks ago, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see a status of Paul McCaskill, that really caught my eye. And Paul, I'm going to read, if you don't mind, I can read that status.
No, not at all.
And so this was the status that Paul posted. He said, and I'll skip over some, but I'll get the gist of it. But he said, you ever find yourself in a situation where you connect with someone and enjoy spending time with them? You get along well and they treat you awesome, but you know it's not going to go anywhere. And when you break it off, you feel terrible, not because it was harsh or mean, because you knew it was going to hurt them. But even though you know it was the right thing to do to allow them and you the space to be available for something or someone better suited, it still hurts, basically. And you went on to say, sometimes even when you try and do it right, it can feel painful and wrong. And as I'm aging, I feel way more connected and compassionate toward others' feelings and situations. Growth will offer you hard lessons to learn from that cut you deeply, but is necessary even when it doesn't feel good. So when I read that, it kind of echoes some conversations Reginald and I have had, you know, about our past experiences. And I'm like, oh my God, we need to have a show about this, because I'm a lady, you know, I've been in many relationships, you know, I have lots of female friends who are in or have been in relationships, and you know, that we've supported each other when relationships have ended, when we're having difficulties in our relationships. And as women, oftentimes we try to see things from a male perspective. And I'll tell individuals, even as a psychologist, 9 times out of 10, we're wrong, but we'll convince ourselves that whatever scenario we've come up in our head is the truth. So to have 2 men that are willing, you know, and just following you on social media, I know you're transparent and honest, knowing Reginald, I know he has no problem being transparent in this discussion. So I was just so excited when you both agreed to just be part of this show so we can discuss this topic of breakups. You know, James Ingram said there's no easy way to break somebody's heart. So Paul, I want to start with you. Tell me what made you even put that post up.
Well, I think it was really everything I stated in that post. Like you had mentioned, I'm pretty transparent with my friends and family and followers on my page. I try to be as real as possible. I'm silly too, but you know, most of my stuff is, you know, about love and positive energy that I want to pass on to whoever receives mm-hmm. that. You know, in this world, it's on Facebook, you got everything else. And I wanted to bring that kind of atmosphere. But because just like I stated in the thing, I was in that emotional state and I felt very, very bad about mm-hmm. knowing what I did hurt somebody who I cared about. I think a lot of times when we go through breakups, you know, you start collecting a tool chest of hurts or wrongs that the other person did. And so when it's time to have that breakup conversation, you feel strong in your conviction that, you know, this is how I feel. This is how you made me feel. I'm out. Peace. And so you walk away kind of like, okay. You know what I mean? In a sense, even though it hurt or even though it might've hurt the other person. But in this instance, I didn't have a tool shed. I didn't have anything negative to say. It was just, I had to face the reality of somebody wanting more than I was willing to give at that moment. And I had to address it honestly. And certainly I could have stayed in it and enjoyed the pleasures and the benefits that we both were sharing with one another, but that wouldn't have been the right thing to do. And that's why I stated that. And that's why it hurt me. You know, yeah. I mean, I actually shed tears after it. And even obviously I asked her to forgive me, but I even asked God to forgive me because it felt that bad. And mm-hmm. you know what I'm trying to say? I've never really, as like I was stating in that piece, that, you know, you get to a certain age where you start caring about other people, not just your own self-centered or self-loathing self, you know. And so it really moved me. It really moved me to have a real adult conversation like that. And I was a participant in it because, to be honest with you, I was more the tool shed guy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So in this instance, it was different. It was different. The only other instance that I ever experienced like that was when my ex-wife, when we got a divorce, and it was her talking to me, you know, having that sit down, come to Jesus kind of conversation, and she was sharing how she felt and she wanted to break up. So, you know, it was, I felt both sides of that spectrum, but as an adult, this was probably the first time where it wasn't, like I said, I didn't have anything negative to say. I just had to be honest with somebody that I truly cared about. And I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Okay. And something you said, do I, and that stood out to me. You said, do I stay here and continue to receive the rewards of the way she treats me, or be honest and give her the opportunity to open herself for someone better suited? And so you admit, like, it was, and what actually brought on that conversation?
That's a great point. Well, she actually asked me point blank, you know, so where do you see our relationship going? And in that moment, I was like, I knew in my head, I was like, nowhere, you know what I mean? But that's not the response I felt that she deserved. You know, I wanted to give her something more in depth and more real and more, you know, more candid.
Yeah.
And so we had that conversation. It was, like I said, it was heavy, but it was a necessary heavy, because I just knew that it was the right thing to do. I could have said, oh, well, everything is good and everything is cool, let's just keep rolling with it. But yeah. At that point, I knew that that wasn't a reality. So why continue down that path? You know, when I said giving her the freedom, it's also giving me the freedom too. You know what I mean? I had to come to terms with I don't want to block my blessings either. I want her to find somebody suited for her, you know, that's better suited for her as well. But I have to be open and available for that also. And sometimes we're with people that we know it's not going anywhere, but we hang in there anyway. And the people that the spirits or the souls that we're supposed to connect with truly that are for us, we walking right by them because we're connected to them. We don't, you know, we don't have the freedom to move over to that space. And yeah. So that really was the crust of everything I felt. I felt like, let's just be, we've been real to this point, let's be real going out. And so that's kind of how I played out.
Okay, thank you. And Reggie, why did you wanted to be part of this conversation? I wanted you to be part of it too, but just share why you felt this is an important conversation to have.
I mean, like you said, we've all experienced a lot of relationships, you know, from young adult to adult. And just what Paul said, as we get older, we tend to want to do things a different way. You know, I can, I've been on both ends of that spectrum too, you know, being let go and also doing the breaking up. And it's, you know, you get to, you want to be honest. You want to be real about your feelings. And one of the things that, you know, my relationship, you know, past relationship, you know, I was, you know, I come out of a long marriage, you know, 22 year marriage. And when I started dating again, I just, you know, honestly, I wasn't ready for a serious commitment, you know, so I was in several relationships, just kind of like coasting and, you know, not really trying to find my ground, not really knowing where I want to be, but I knew I wasn't really ready to commit totally. And, you know, like Paul, I had to just kind of end a relationship that I was in that I felt that I couldn't give my all to, you know. I couldn't be everything that she probably needed. And also too, with me, there's just some things that, you know, that I began to be honest with myself about, you know, what is it that I'm looking for in a relationship? You know, what are those core things that I'm looking for in relationships? And, you know, sometimes we can just, we find ourselves just in relationships, enduring relationships, and not being honest with those things that it is we really want. And I just, you know, as Paul said too, you know, you kind of connect with spirits, you know, with people that you have that connection with. And as in the case, you know, I'm just be honest, you know, you and I, when you know, you and I crossed paths for years and, you know, was totally friends. And, but, you know, there were some things that, some core things that really connected with me, you know, and I had to have that hard conversation too, you know, that, you know, I just had to release this person because I, you know, I had to be honest with them and myself about what it is I wanted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing because it wasn't that it was a bad relationship. It just, you know, I found myself just being in something that I was just coasting in and not really living or being my true self in, you know. And so, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Ladies, you hear all this honest conversation here? And I'm seeing the comments now, and people are just commenting saying they appreciate you guys just being so honest and transparent with it. One of the, you know, you mentioned it, Reggie, Paul kind of alluded to it as well, in relationships. So this is like the $1 million question, and I'm looking on Facebook, so if you guys have $2 million questions, put those up as well. But at what point, you know, as women, I found myself personally in relationships where, you know, I would have liked more, right? And never really having that conversation to say, where are we? Because it's that fear of if you ask the question, you may get the answer you don't want. And so oftentimes, and I can only speak for myself and ladies and gentlemen, because this is not necessarily a gender thing, you know, because I think, like you said, we've all been on both sides of this. But one of the things that I think we erroneously do, I know I have in the past, is you continue, Paul, you said, do you keep receiving the benefits? So we continue to do things for that significant other that we know are valuable, that we know they appreciate, that, you know, they verbalize they appreciate with the expectation of, oh, if they're enjoying this, this means that this has some longevity, instead of coming out and just asking the question. So this is a question for both of you guys. Do you feel, or better yet, when do you feel that conversation or question should be had?
I think when a person is feeling things aren't going in that direction, you know, I think we know, you know, when you know, you know, you know, when you're in a relationship and I can say one person knows, you know, I'm not going to say both person knows, but, mm-hmm. But typically, you know, but as men, sometimes we can, I think we can tend to stay in things, and not all men, but we can tend to, as Paul said, enjoy the benefits of a relationship and just be okay with it. And probably in our mind knowing that, you know, this is not really what I want long term, but I think that conversation needs to be had when a person feel like, you know, they're not getting that connection. They're not really getting what they feel this relationship should be giving to them, you know. I think that's a perfect time to dive into that conversation.
Okay.
Yep, that's a great point, Reggie, and I agree with that. I also think, though, conversation should be had about everything that's pertinent to a person really from the beginning. You shouldn't be, you know, I think that too often people get together, they enjoy their company, they might ask a few questions up front, and then they kind of float into the relationship. Mm-hmm. Without really continuing asking like questions. You know, it's important to me. I feel it's always important to ask about your childhood, because for men and women, because you want to know, you know, if they wasn't hugged enough when they was a kid, you know, that could potentially be an issue as you're an adult. I'm not saying that you should exclude someone for that, but at least if you have that knowledge in your tool shed, you know, you can rely on that. One of the other things is, I think most of us would agree that we're good communicators, and we can communicate well with another person, but what is the level of comprehension that other person is receiving from what you're offering them?
Can you say that again? Because I think that's a good point. Communication and comprehension, two different things.
Two different things, but part of the same you know, they're moving in the same direction, but they could go different if, again, the comprehension isn't there. So you can meet somebody and tell them, hey, you know, this happens, I'm sure, with all of us. You know, you have that conversation about, well, you know, I really like you. I want to go out with you. So we can see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But the comprehension sometimes is, well, once she hanging out with me, she going to love me. She going to be with me. You know what I mean? But that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a real level of comprehension that was connected to that conversation. You're hoping that would be a good end result if you guys really mesh like that. But the reality of it is that that's not always the truth. And so you have to be able to say, and sometimes you might say what you just said, hey, I just want to enjoy your company, hang out. But you might need to restate that comment in a different way, because they might not have comprehended it the way that you thought. It might be really right now, based on where I've been, you know, I had a bad breakup or whatever. I truly enjoy spending time with you, but I can't say in any time soon that you and I could transition into something real. So I don't want you hanging out there believing that might be the case. Mm-hmm. Now, certainly that can be revisited. The table moves constantly as you're getting to know one another. But
certainly that can be revisited. If oftentimes people, that's what they're hanging on. Like you say that and they're hearing it, but they're not comprehending it. What they are comprehending is, This can change, and I have the power to make this change.
So do we need?
Go ahead, Reggie.
So are you saying what we're saying is those conversations need to be revisited often in relationships, like checkup points?
Yes, that's a great one. Relationship checkup points. You should have them. Why not? It won't hurt, you know, and if you're being honest, the main piece of that, though, is you got to be honest. If you're not one of those people who want to be honest with someone, and women, please don't say, well, my man isn't sensitive or emotional like that, because every man has this piece. Mm-hmm. Think about every relationship that was ever started that you had. He bought you flowers. He talked gentle to you. He was kind. He opened doors. You know what I'm saying? So when you say, well, he's not really like that. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some brothers who might club you over the head, drag you home, and then you wake up and you're in a relationship. but for the most part, they have to court you at least to your level of liking. And so they have to connect with being emotional and sensitive to get you to get on the same page with them. Mm-hmm. And so having those conversations, like Reggie just mentioned, having those checkup points, they have them. You just have to be willing to have that conversation. But like you had said, Dr. Rose, sometimes we're afraid of the answer. And you can't be afraid of the answer, because if the answer is not what you want it to be, then you have, again, you have all of the power to change that situation and or maybe reset the table with that person and let them know where you stand as well. So, you know, it's all very important. I don't think there's no bullet one size fit all. When should you do it? I think, like Reggie mentioned, that it's like how you feel in your heart. You start noticing if somebody is not as engaged, or they haven't called you as frequently, or you're not seeing each other as much. So that might be a good time to say, hey, I'm not trying to cause no waves. I just want to know, because if you got a different plan, please let me know so I can plan accordingly.
Yeah, I just want to encourage you guys watching on Facebook, be sure to share this video in your comments. I'm looking at your comments, and we're going to get through to them, definitely. Reggie, you had something to say.
Yeah, Rose, you and I was having a conversation the other day, and you asked me a question about, I asked you a question. Why is it that women rush to that, you know, that commitment stage so fast? Why is it that women need that right away? And I understand no one wants to waste time in their life and in relationships, but I know we are different as men and women, but why do you find most women, your girlfriends, why is it that urgency to just want that commitment and now? You know, because I find that with women, especially in the past, you know, especially as older we get. I mean, I know young people probably is a little different, but can you give light to that?
Yeah, Yeah, young people are very different. That's a whole other show, right? they have a whole different take on relationships.
Yeah, they do.
I was, as I'm watching this, I'm listening to you guys, but I'm looking at the comments too. And Cheryl Harvey said something. I can't see it, so I'm going to paraphrase it. But she said people are so afraid of losing connections, you know, that they'll stick around even if they know it's not good. But this goes back to your question, Reggie. I think, and it's, again, we're not going to generalize that this is all women, because we know it's not.
Right.
Because there are men
that are the same way. Yeah, know, some men, right.
Rush into relationships too. However, that feeling of connection, because relationships are what life is all about. We want to feel connected. And there's one of the things I said at the start of the show, how the majority of relationships we get in are going to end. Majority of relationships I've been in have ended, you know. So but the thing is, no one ever gets into a relationship with the expectation that it's going to end. Like, we all go into it with this desire of, okay, this could be the one. Right.
Yep.
But the issue with that, and I tell my patients this, I tell my coaching clients this, I have this conversation with friends. We've talked about it, Reggie, you and I. But the issue with that, when you go into something with your expectation is, this is going to be it. I need this to be it. I don't want to have to start over again. Now you've gone from collecting data to see if this person is actually compatible to you, and if this is a person who's actually going to resonate long term with you. Now you've gone from that, because now you've honed in on this has to work, and now you've gone to, I'm going to just say it, manipulating the situation to create longevity, even if longevity is not supposed to be there. And so you are robbing yourself of the opportunity to really be able to just observe a person with this unbiased, without being attached to outcome. So, you know, when you are attached to an outcome of this has to last, your whole interaction and the way you navigate that relationship becomes totally different than when you go into something to say, let's see how we like each other. Let's see how this goes. Let's see how we resonate with each other. But, you know, oftentimes for women and some men as well, it's just this desire to want to feel connected to someone, you know. And as you say, as we get older, you know, we think about even this COVID-19 shutdown. You know, people were, the exes were coming out of the woodwork, because people just want, you know, they had nowhere to go. And so people wanted to feel, you know, connected to even people they had broken up with. But it's like any connection was, in some people's mind, is better than no connection at all. So I'd like to, I see Tammy Turner has up. She said, women over the age of 40 have been to the amusement park and rode all the rides. They know what they want and what they don't want. And I will tell you this, most women, Tammy, over 40, but trust me, there's a lot who really, they don't even know themselves yet. So they don't even have a good grasp of what it is they want. And I encounter that as well. Nicole Stevens says, most women don't want, I missed your comment. Hopefully I'll be able to find it again, Nicole. It went away, because you guys are, I love it. Keep the feedback coming. You commented all the time. But what about the ideal? Tell me what your thoughts on this whole idea of closure.
I think everybody wants it. I mean, I think closure is good for a lot of people. I said everybody wants closure. I can't, that's not 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just know what is, and you just roll with it. But for those that need closure, I just think it's a need to know, what was it about them? Because I think we all internalize things first. I think about when my ex-wife divorced me, she wanted a divorce, you know. I carried all of the weight on, what was it about me? How bad of a husband was I that somebody don't want to love me no more? You know what I'm trying to say? So I think it's just this internal thing that people have that they require to know, what was it?
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know if they're going to work on it, but at least they'll know. They'll have an ideal of what it was that you decided to let me go for. And maybe I can move on by having that information. But I would, you had mentioned something, Dr. Rose, about, you know, exes coming back. I would encourage anybody, don't do that. Be optimistic about the future. Don't go backwards. And if I said anything to hurt anybody, charge it to my head, not my heart, because my heart is good. And so, but yes, yeah. Oh. So that's what I think about that topic.
Okay.
What do you think, Reg?
I think you said something important. You know, most people look at themselves and wonder, you know, what is it about me that, you know, made you not want to stay in this, want to continue that? And all the time, it's not about that other person. You know, it's a lot of things with yourself, you know. As in my case, you know, I was in, you know, a relationship with a young lady who was a beautiful person, you know, and it wasn't that there was things wrong with her or she didn't, you know, it was just me seeking, you know, and looking for the things that I wanted, the things that I needed, you know. And as you said, I knew I, you know, to be honest with myself, I had to release that because, you know, you tend to, if you don't, you tend to hold people's lives up, you know, hold your life up. And that conversation has to be had. And, you know, that was it can be a painful conversation sometimes, but just being honest, open about your true feelings is the best thing to do, you know. And that clears everybody conscious of, you know, yourself and them. So, yeah.
It's, you know, it's, I've said this for years, closure is just, the whole concept is a great idea. But what I found, even with my patients over the years, what I found with people I know, closure for them meant they wanted, it wasn't just an explanation, but, you know, they wanted someone to just be like, oh, you know, it's not about you, it's me, I was all wrong, you know. It was, for some people, they get closure confused with this whole ideal of vindication, or oftentimes I've known people who say they seek closure so they can't move on, you know, but what they're really seeking is to try to convince a person that, let's give it another try, you know, in that conversation, you know, mm-hmm. Let's go again. It wasn't all as bad as you thought it was. I've seen all types of scenarios. So what I tell people is, you know, don't necessarily expect closure. To be able to have a conversation like what you guys are talking about now, you know, the post you wrote about what you did, and the conversation you had with the young lady, Paul, your conversation you're sharing, Reggie, you know, that's kind of more of the exception, and I could be wrong. You guys can share on the Facebook status there. Then the rule for a lot of individuals, like I said, when I put that poll up, how have most relationships ended, or have you ended relationships with other people? People typically ghost, you know, it's just no explanation. They just go, zero dark hundred, so to speak. Or they will, you know, write some Dear John letter, you know, or a text message ending it all. There are still other people who will stay in a relationship that they don't want to be in, but because they don't want to hurt the other person, they'll stay in that relationship and in turn do passive aggressive things, hoping that person will in turn end it with them so they don't have to be the bad guy, you know. Right. So there are so many different ways that people have found themselves either on that receiving end or that giving in of ending a relationship that didn't necessarily reflect the level of maturity that we need to be reflecting now. So, you know, with the whole ideal of closure again, I just caution against people using closure as an excuse not to move on. Mm-hmm. Because I've known people to say, I can't move on until I understand the why, you know, everything was going well. So I understand. And you may never understand the why, or even the response that the person gives may still not suit you. So you don't want to think that this closure is going to be all neatly wrapped in a gift box. And it's like, now, you know, life gets to go on. And I'm going to gather for both of you, that's never been the case. Where?
Well, for me, I can't speak for Reggie or any other man. I've never really necessarily needed closure to make me to prompt me to move on with my life. I'm naturally an optimist, so I look forward to whatever's next, you know, in my life. You know, certainly that doesn't mean in that moment that I wasn't hurt or, you know, needed to take a long, hard, critical look at myself and how I could have been better, you know, those type of things. You know, I mentioned my ex-wife earlier. I remember when, you know, these things happened. And like I mentioned, I felt like, well, what was it about? What did I do? I was a good husband. I was a good son-in-law. You know, we went on trips, you know, all of these things. And, you know, I finally, when I wound up moving to Arizona, and one day my best friend called me. He's a locksmith in Detroit. And he wound up calling me saying, hey, man, your girl called you. I was like, my girl? I've been in Arizona for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, your ex-wife called and asked for your number. I gave it to her. I just wanted to give you a heads up. Well, anyway, she did call me. I was thinking maybe something happened to, you know, her folks or something. And, you know, we just started talking and catching up. And then, you know, now again, even though I moved on, I still had this tension on that thought in my head about what was it about me that somebody didn't want to love me anymore? You know what I mean? And all she said was unsolicited. She said, Paul, you was a good husband. I promise you. That was the closure for me that I didn't even know I was looking for, because I wasn't. I was already moving on. I was already finally finding who I, you know, getting myself back together. And so, but I think you're right, Dr. Rose. You should not look for closure in any other human being. You know what I mean? It is what it is, or it ain't what it ain't. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to move on with your life and find happiness and peace. And it all starts with yourself. You can't rely on another person telling you something, and that's going to change your life, you know, for the better forever. If it doesn't happen, that should be okay. And you should understand, like you said, 99.9% of our relationships are going to end. You know what I mean? It's that 1% that you need to really be positive and concerned about. And so that would be my, if somebody asked me, don't look for closure, because what if you never get it? That means you just going to stay where you are? Of course not.
Some people that do, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's a sad existence, I would say. You know, before I transitioned to Reggie, I just was going to think, I think sometimes when I hear about guys acting silly with women because they broke up with them or they hurt them or something like that, it really saddens me and it angers me in a lot of sense, because it's like, look, the Lord, he put the numbers in our favor, fellas. Come on, relax. And then on top of that, he made all of these other women that you have an opportunity to connect with and meet. And maybe that one that you had that negative experience or that bad experience or that tough breakup with obviously wasn't the one. And that should be okay, because life is a whole ball of experiences. And even the negative ones you can grow and learn from. So, you know, I'm kind of weird and wired a little bit different than most. So I don't think closure should be something anyone should hang their hat on from a person that they didn't work out with. It's like, you should be glad and move on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Move on.
Great point.
Yeah. So I had a situation where I dated someone briefly, but it was, and I've shared this story with Reggie as well, but you know, great guy expressed early on that he was interested in, you know, something long-term and, you know, was, you know, wanted to just explore that. I wasn't in a place at that time where I was necessarily even interested in seeing that. And I did something, I ghosted, right? I ghosted. I was just in a space where, you know, I was in a relationship coming out of one, you know, this person comes along that, you know, is a great person on paper and in reality, this great person, but it just wasn't a good place for me. And, you know, I saw the calls coming in of what happened. And, you know, I just totally did that ghosting type thing. And I can remember it was probably about 10 months later, 9-10 months later, that I was driving home on a Sunday afternoon and I was just reflecting. And I felt so bad about doing that I actually called this gentleman, you know, up. And when he answered the phone, he was like, well, hello, stranger, you know, that type of thing. And he probably, you know, was like, what is she calling for? And I assured him, you know, I started off and I was just real honest. I said, I just want to first apologize to you about how I went about, you know, just navigating that short dating period that we had and not really being honest with you where I was at that time. You know, I had been in kind of in this off and on relationship for a while. This great person comes along. I'm not in a headspace where I'm even wanting to receive it, you know. And even though, like you said, this is a great person, because this is one of the things we have to realize too. Someone can be like the ideal person, but not the ideal person for you. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize that, because on paper, you know, people would look and say, what more do you want? You know, this person checks all these boxes that every woman says she wants, you know, why is it? But it didn't resonate with me. And instead of just having that honest conversation, I took the cowardly way out. But for me to reach out and make that phone call and actually have this conversation, this is reverse closure, if you want to look at it that way, because mm-hmm. I felt like I was not being a good person when I did that. And I felt like this good person deserved more of an explanation of why I did that. And he was very receptive. He was very, you know, appreciative of me doing that. And, you know, this person is now happily married and found the person that he connects to. Because again, as you said, Paul, and I know you said as well, Reggie, one of the things we have to realize is that the longer we coast and stuff, the you know, we may be missing people mm-hmm. passing us by that maybe, you know, there were several years that Reggie and I passed each other by on dates with other people. Like, but it was just like, you know, the thought never came, but it was just an opportunity that came where we actually was able to connect and have this conversation. And we realized like, wow, this really feels good, you know? But to be able to just be more adult about the way we break things off and more mature about it and understand that it helps us grow and evolve as a person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Timing is everything. You know, breakups are like we, you know, the whole topic is breakups and they're never easy to do or have. And, but you know, it's just like anything, it's a necessary part of learning and growing and experiencing. You know, you get hurt by somebody, you start really paying attention to what you really want on the next trip. I know that much. And so that hurt though, moved you to a different area where before, I think from my own experience when I was younger, if the girl looked good to me, we'll figure everything out in the wash. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You know, we'll figure this thing out. That don't work. You know what I mean? That does not work at all. But I do believe that timing is important. Connecting with the right person, asking questions. I mean, probing questions. I mentioned earlier about, you know, asking stuff about a childhood. What did they want to be when they grew up? You know, all of these little things can lead you down a path you know, the goal is not to break up, like we said, even though we're talking about breakups, the goal is really to connect with somebody that you love, and you don't have to have a breakup. Yeah. But in reality, like we were just talking about, 99.9 of them are going to end it in that. But it starts with us, you know, to put ourselves in the best position possible. We have to start, equip ourselves with asking the right questions and not being afraid of the answers, like you mentioned earlier, Dr. Rose, mm-hmm. and accepting it. And making adjustments on the fly, and certainly don't stay in something that you know you're not going to be satisfied with. I understand that we all get lonely. You know, hell, I get lonely. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 wasn't no joke. I was one of them guys. I was in DMs all over Detroit. but you know, but like you said, you know, you wanna connect with somebody, and you wanna have that last good conversation with somebody that leads to something special and wonderful. And I think as people, we all wanna connect, but the connection has to be with the right person. But again, it's life's experiences that take us to this place that puts us in a fundamental position to say, I'm gonna ask all of the right questions, I'm gonna do all of the right things, and whatever the outcome is, and I'm thinking positive, that's a blessing for me. But if I don't do any of those things, then I haven't set myself up for anything good to manifest.
So go ahead, Brett.
No, I mean, Paul hit it on the nail with that. I mean, on the head with that. I mean, we have to have those honest conversations, you know? And I think, you know, as we discussed before, all too often, we get into the dating phase and it feels good and we just kind of coast into that relationship and not unfolded these things that, you know, who we are, you know, who we are, what we are, what we like, you know, good, bad, you know, and those things we tend to miss in the relationship. And I mean, it's so vital, you know, to any foundation of a lasting relationship, is that we kind of uncover and be transparent about, you know, who we are as people, what it is we like, what it is we want. Because we, you know, you as time goes on, you know, the relationship's going to show itself, you know, mm-hmm. You'd be dealing with these things, these issues, you know, you'd be back at that. So, just it's so important. Just good, open, honest conversation, communication about who and what we want, you know.
So Paul mentioned something. I want both you guys to touch on this. Paul said, ask the right questions. So what are the right questions?
Man, this is, I mean.
You go, Reggie. You know, that's so,
I mean, those are conversations that, you know, that's over time. And as Paul said, you know, our childhood is really something that we all, you know, we have to look at, you know, how was this person raised as a child? How was their relationship with their parents? You know, were they, do they understand love? Were they shown love? You know, because I've been in relationships where I didn't have that, you know, I didn't have that. You know, I'm a loving person. I come from a loving family. I come from a family who hug, kiss each other. You know, we love each other. I mean, even my kids now, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, and that's just who we are. And when you with someone who don't know how to, you know, give that, and they never were shown that, that can become a struggle with you. You know, and when you can't talk about those things, and when they can't be honest about those things, you know, you have all type of problems that present themselves. So those are just one thing, our childhood. Things about, as in relationship, what do we like, you know? And that can range from all kind of things, you know, from you name it. It's just, those are conversations. It's broad.
Yeah,
so...
So looking at, like, asking how they were nurtured. You got a question, Paul, before I go into?
I was just going to say, I'm piggybacking off of Reggie. First of all, this segment is being brought to you by Simply Lemonade. I love this stuff.
I want my check.
And yeah, right, exactly. You're going to get it. And then, like Reggie said something that really resonated with me. You know, I grew up in the same kind of environment, Reggie. I'm a lover. I'm a hugger. You know, I tell my brothers, you know, I love you, my best friend. You know, I don't have a problem with sharing that same love across the board. Okay. But right. I start talking to somebody and I asked them this one question. I said, do you consider yourself affectionate? And it was like, they had to think about it. And just in that moment, I'm like, you either affectionate or you're not. That's not like something you got to figure out, you know? And then I said, okay, well, you know, that's cool. And then my next follow-up question, because I'm a prober, I ask a lot of questions. They probably get sick of me after the first date. But, I said, do you like kissing? She said, no, I don't kiss. I don't like kissing. Most people, a lot of people, I'll say, they'll move forward in that relationship, even though they know they love kissing. So what they're thinking is, well, she gonna love to kiss me. I kiss better than everybody else, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the reality of it is, that's not something you should move on. If that's at the top of your box checking list. For me, that was at the top. Why would I want to put myself in a position with somebody where it's going to be a point of contention over and over? Every time I want to kiss her, she don't kiss me. Now I'm mad. Yeah. That makes no sense. And it doesn't have to be kissing. That was just an illustration.
And Paul, make no mistake about it. That's the worst relationship a man can be in, is a relationship where there's no love, no sex, no communication, no nothing. That's just, I mean, it's a...
A woman too.
Yeah, right.
Some of us been there too.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's, those things, I mean, and speaking of that, you know, and then compatibility, man. We just got to be compatible. You want to be with somebody you want to be compatible with, somebody you can have fun with. And that's why we buy into these beliefs, you know, that, you know, marriage is forever. And I understand it. But if we're not happy, if we're not getting along, if we can't see eye to eye, if we can't communicate our ideas, our goals, and we're not sexual, I mean, who wants to, I want to enjoy a relationship, not just endure a relationship. I mean, I think that's the worst thing a person can do is spend however long they have left just enduring a relationship that they're not being satisfied from. And that's not being selfish. That's just being real, you know. It's being honest, because there's a lot of miserable people out here who are with people who don't connect with. I mean, the worst thing, and I see people, you know, we all see people, even in the social world, you know, they can be posting just as happy and showing and go home, don't even talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Different rooms, don't speak, you know. And, you know, I never, you know, after coming out of some things, I said I never want to be in nothing that I can't be real about, honest about, and most of all, just lie to myself about, you know. So, and that's not to say that, you know, I'm against those vows and marriage vows, but sometimes I think we need to rethink some things when it comes to our happiness and what it is that we're accepting and we allow. You know, life is too short. You know, it is.
When you talk about, when both of you talk about kind of just being there, you know, like Paul, you said, do I stay here and receive the rewards? Reggie, you talked about coasting. The truth of the matter, not, you know, we've all been there, myself included, is that I tell people, anything you do often enough starts to become your norm, even if it doesn't feel good. And so the coasting and just being in something because you've been in it that long just starts to be the norm. I did a video 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, you guys can find it on my timeline on YouTube, but on compatibility, and talked about how there are lots of people who have been married 50 years and they don't have an ounce of compatibility between the two of them. They've slept in separate bedrooms for the last 40 years, you know, but because they did it for so long, it's just the norm. And you get used to, this is as good as it gets. And that's one, you know, as part of my entire platform, what I do, the whole Bloom brand is about just really encouraging people to understand life is supposed to be lived out loud and in full color, you know, and in full bloom. And to deny yourself of just the basics of being able to plug into something that just brings out the best in you is one of the worst things you can do. And it leads to a lot of just the emotional despair. You know, when I get patients that come in here, you know, reporting anxiety or depression, oftentimes we can link it back to a relationship that is not satisfying to them, but they won't even come in and that's, you know, see that as a problem because they've been doing it for so long, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just what they expect to just, receive from that situation. But, it's one of the questions. So I just want to talk about a question and then we've got about 7-8 minutes left, but I ask people all the time, where did you learn what love looks like? Mm-hmm. And that will stump people because, you know, I've heard responses such as the Cosby Show, right? So, you know, fictional characters, you know, well-acted, but fictional characters. There are a lot of people, a lot of adults our age that never witnessed love, nurturing, what it looks like between a man and woman who get along, who are happy with each other, who can laugh with each other. And as someone who grew up, you know, watching my parents in the household just enjoying each other and laughing and kissing and hugging and being nurturing toward each other, I just thought that was the norm. So when I started going into my adult relationships with individuals, it just, you know, I just thought that that would be automatic for everyone. And what in turn happened is because I was connecting with people that wasn't the norm. I just became that person that cut off that affectionate side of myself because I wasn't getting it. So I was able to kind of navigate that, you know, throughout life, not being this affectionate person that grew up seeing this. And so oftentimes, and even with breakups, when we talk about breakups, we have to understand each and every relationship introduces us more to ourselves. And so over time, what I've been introduced to with all the past relationships is the truth of who I am. You know, the truth of what I enjoy, what resonates with me. And then it comes a time for all of us when we've done the work to really understand self, that when we encounter a relationship that does not resonate with us, we are able to be courageous enough to ask the questions to see if it is viable. And if it's not viable, to be courageous enough to walk away. A lot of people won't walk away because they said, I done posted pictures of us on Facebook. Don't walk away, what people gonna say about me. Trust me, I've been in forums where people will say that. And it's just, you know, ridiculous because we have to understand what we have a birthright to be happy.
I totally agree. I was just thinking, when I make reference to my ex-wife, it's not about her because that ship has sailed, but it's about my experience. You know what I mean? Before I met her, I was in my 20s and I was I was doing what a 20-year-old handsome brother would do, you know, throwing the spoils, you know what I mean?
What was that you were doing?
enjoying women, enjoying them, everything about them except the relationship, yeah, you know, because I was too immature to understand that. The interesting thing about that is that I became broken. I mean, I started realizing, not to my friends, I was the man, but to me, I'm the one who has to lay with me and look at myself and ask myself, why do I feel so disconnected from these women who I enjoy and I have fun with and we laugh and blah, blah, blah. But once they say, well, when can I meet your mother? I'm like, oh, I'm out. I'm out. I need to start all over. So I was like, Lord, fix me because I'm broke. If this is what love, and like Reggie mentioned, I grew up in a household. I had six brothers and my mom and dad was there. So it was nothing but love and laughter and hugs and kisses. Yeah. All the time. But I was like, here I am in my 20s. I'm not engaging like that. Not in a real level, in a superficial level to get, you know, the ends to the means. Yeah, I was. And I was like, Lord, please fix me. So then, boom, I meet this woman. And you asked me when the question was, when did you find out what love was? When I found out what love was after that experience of being broken. You know, I felt like I was broken. Is that he introduced me to somebody that said, now I'm going to wake the inner you. And that self-centered, egotistical, do stuff on my own, don't care about what they got going on, catch up with me when you catch, all of that went away. Because I started calling her and asking her, hey, I was about to get something to eat. What do you want? How are you feeling today? You know, these things that before I was never doing. So I started realizing, knowing that I was broke, he gave me somebody that allowed me to experience in its fullness what love is. And I will tell you, I needed that because before I fell in love with her, I needed that experience to know how I could love other women.
Wow.
And so that was an important
building blocks.
Yes, it was an important time for me, totally an important time. And I'm so thankful for that experience because I don't conduct myself like that 20-year-old guy used to do. And like Reggie said, when I start feel like I'm coasting, it's time for me to really switch gears because I don't, like I said, no one should be stuck in any situation where they're not really fully happy. The full them is blossoming. And, enjoying a woman in a physical sense is nice and wonderful. But at this age, like Reggie was mentioning, you get to a certain age, it's like, hey, I want somebody I can laugh with. I want somebody I can just lay on the couch and we watch Net Geo and watch what the big cats are doing. You know what I'm trying to say? All of these other things. You can go hard for 1 hour with somebody in the bed, but there's 23 more hours left in the day. Right. So what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sleep
for 2 hours and go hard again.
Yeah, and go hard again. But then it's still 8 or 9, still 10 more hours still left. What you gonna do now? You know? Where's your encore? You know?
So I have this, I'm going to ask this question, then we'll go on to kind of closing things up. Someone asked, why go on date number 2 or 3 if you're not feeling the vibe?
I don't think you should, but if you do, if you are going on it, you feel something. you enjoy something about the person.
Yeah, it's fun. It was, you know.
Just a distraction, something to do?
Sometimes.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Yep, could be.
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean,
and men can do that. We can, you know, we can date you and just hang out with you.
Yeah.
And enjoy
unfair to the person who is wanting more. You know, the situation I shared with you, it was, you know, I was looking at it, this is something I can just go and have some fun with when I want to have fun. But the person was looking at something more long term, which is why I did the whole ghosting, which wasn't the, you know, I think I kind of added some type of closure for that person with that. But yeah, so as far as, you know, for some people, if you're going on date number two or three or four, again, that's moving back. By date six, that means we're in a committed relationship.
Yeah. Starts getting heavy then. Then it starts. Two or three, not so much. But four, five, six, yeah, you probably start needing to find out what's really going on. But if both people are doing that, I think at that point, there's some things about them that you guys like about each other. Mm-hmm. How serious it's going to turn, that's going to be determined by questioning and communication and comprehension.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So I want to, one of the fun things I want to do with my podcast, and we'll definitely have to continue this conversation at another time, because we got so many great responses and a lot of comment and feedback. A lot of people saying they saw love from their parents. Love what you said, Reggie, about you want to enjoy, not endure a relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. So they said, put it on a t-shirt. Make some money off of that. But anyway, so one of the fun things I wanted to do, those who follow me, they know I'm all about kind of rediscovering self, understanding who you are. Like I said, a week or half ago, I did a video on compatibility, which will be a great video to watch in addition to this. But talking about just how beneficial it is to understand who you are, you know, what your personality type is, how you are hardwired, before even going back into the dating world, because knowing who you are gives you a better idea of who it is you probably need to move toward and who you need to move away from. So I asked both guys prior to the show to do a personality inventory. And so we got their results of their personality inventory. I also did their numerology number. And this is the bizarre thing, everyone. They both have the same personality type. You know, those of you have my book, you know the different personality types. Poppy, they have the Poppy personality type, and you guys both have the same life path. So you guys are both three life paths, which
that's
is
my kindred brother over there.
So the three life path is the communicator. So this is why this went excellent, because you guys are just hardwired to communicate. You're hardwired to kind of be social, to connect with people and to communicate. And the personality type, Poppy, my coaching people, guys who've come to the retreats, you guys know what that is. But these are the nurturers. These are the ones that wear their heart on their sleeve. These are the ones that want everyone to be able to get along. So it's natural that they would feel bad in breaking someone else's heart, you know, because if there are other personality types that wouldn't feel bad about that at all, you know, wouldn't have put a Facebook post up, you know, expressing how bad they felt about it. But one of the things, so these are great attributes, you know, again, going back to that last video, it'll explain all the different personality types. But one of the things, the Poppy personality type have to be aware of is that oftentimes, but it sounds like both of you have moved and grown past that, you will stay in stuff sometimes longer just so you don't hurt a person's feeling. Yep. And so again, when a person understands that they're hardwired just to make, they want everybody to kind of feel good. They don't want to be the cause of anyone's pain. They will find themselves staying in situations. Poppy personality types will stay in some situations just, you know, because they don't want to hurt the person. Not to say they won't figure out how to get their needs met. But they're going to, you know, just stay with that person unless they've done the work, unless they've done the growth work. And the best relationship advice I ever got, and I give them a shout out every time I say this, is from a lot of you guys know them. They're local, Jesse and Melva Johnson. They're marriage and relationship counselors in the metropolitan Detroit area. But I can remember running into them. They were marriage counselors of mine many, many years ago. And I ran into them after the marriage had ended, but I thanked them for, you know, their time in counseling. And one of the things that Jesse said to me, and it has always resonated with me, he said, you make sure that the person you decide to enter a relationship with is as committed to self-growth as you are. And that was just like, for me, a light bulb going, because it's simple, but it's so true, because we all have to be willing to continue to grow, to learn about ourselves, to learn about others, to be willing to, you know, just be and allow, you know, that other person to be an extension of ourselves. Like you said, Paul, considering their needs and their wants as we navigate this relationship together. But, you know, be sure, everyone, you know, that the person, but first of all, make sure you are committed to self-growth yourself. Mm-hmm. And whomever you connect to, committed to that as well. Because when you have two people who are committed to that, even if it comes down to having to break up, You guys both understand that it's best for both of you, as opposed to one person who says, you're not going anywhere, I don't care if you're miserable, you're going to stay in this relationship. That's a person who has not done the self-work. And I also want to just say, we have to keep in mind, you know, we all, like Reggie, you talked about core values. Paul, you know, talk about what it is you desire, what you want, someone better well-suited for you. We have to understand, even when relationships end, there's always that possibility of finding someone who is going to be a better fit for you. We oftentimes attach that feeling of bliss, adventure, love, excitement. We attach it to a person, but it's not necessarily a person. It's what that person was able to draw from you because of their energy. And if another person comes into your life that's able to do that, you're going to feel that same adventure, joy, and bliss. So, you know, I don't ever want anyone to think that they missed out, you know, or that one that got away, you'll never be able to connect to something that feels like that again. You have to just be willing to just do the self-work, because we always attract what we are, regardless of the situation. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave it to you guys, kind of give the last words here.
Well, I just want to say, just be true, be real, be authentic to yourself in your relationship, and live in love, you know, and that's what I'm going to leave you guys with.
Thank you, baby.
That's beautiful. I'll just say, just be, you know, put in the work for yourself. You know, love, no matter what kind of relationship you have, love is going to always start and end with you. Mm-hmm. So if you're not willing to put in that work, you know, you're probably going to repeat a lot of the same negative stuff that you've been looking for, been experiencing. But if you change yourself first and have a different outlook, a positive outlook, a loving outlook, and ask questions, probe, don't be afraid to probe, because this is your life. You know, this is your relationship. It's y'all's relationship. It'll become that, but it starts with you. So I would encourage people to do, stay positive and
great point.
Put in the work.
Awesome. Well, thank both of you all again. You all have been great. I appreciate you, both of you, Reggie and Paul. Hopefully, you know, we got a lot of comments and feedback. If I can get you guys to, over the next few days, commit to, if people have questions, just add your feedback on the social media thread. I'm sure we'll reunite again with some other topics, because this is great here. I encourage everyone out there, share this video, share your comments. If you have questions, the guys are going to, you know, over the next few days, kind of peruse the thread, and they can, you know, answer your question, provide some insight for them. And thanks, guys, for joining me today. Join me again next week at 7:30. You'll see the advertisement. We'll be talking about domestic abuse in the Christian households, and, you know, the behind the veil, and just the prevalence of that. But if you have show ideas, or you'd like to be a guest on this show, like to share your experience, whatever it may be, relationship-wise, or, you know, personal growth-wise, reach out to me, message me, or email me at drroseshow@gmail.com, and we can get it started. We can get it happening. We want to just bring content to you guys and have the conversations that people are afraid to have, but are desperately needed. The dialogue that's desperately needed, because again, only through dialogue can change occur. And, you know, with change and with growth, we can all live our lives in full bloom. So thanks, everyone. Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for having us, man.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Bye-bye.
All right, Reggie. Take care, brother.
All right, man. All right. Peace. All right.